morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on His Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Ford Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Amen to both this. Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
We were beginning to wonder if it was going to rain the live long day.
Well, I had the forecast today, and it kept saying partly sunny, and it's hard to read a partly sunny forecast, and you look out, and it's pouring the rain.
Amen. Amen. So, now, we better enjoy the sun while we can.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not always going to be there.
Maybe just in the next hour. Who knows?
You don't know. It's a toss-up.
You never know. Are you well this morning?
I am well. And yourself?
Good. I am up for the entire day.
Want to invite everybody to give us a call today if you'd like to do so. It's 789-0318. 789-0318 with your Bible questions or comments. You can also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com, godspointofview@yahoo.com, and our new Facebook, God's Point of View. We are broadcasting live on that as well, so we want to thank and join and thank our listeners or watchers, I should say, for joining us this morning on Facebook.
Amen.
And then there's an alternative. Now, let me see if I get this right.
Yeah, try it.
367-0137.
That's correct.
Wow.
That is correct.
I'm doing well this
And look
morning.
At there. You've created the potential for a phone call already.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
How long was Adam and Eve in the garden before they partake of the fruit?
That's a good question.
And another one, did the serpent, did he walk upright?
Before That's another.
Before the Lord commanded him to crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the earth.
I love those kinds of questions because we can't ever really know either one of them for sure.
Now, just for so Facebook listeners can hear the question, how many years was Adam and Eve in the garden?
Yes.
Before she sinned or was deceived by the serpent?
Yes.
And did the serpent walk upright before the Lord cursed him and put him on the ground?
Well, let's take the second question first.
You want me to hang up?
No, you can, or you can hold on, whichever. I might say something that you want to agree with, or if you disagree, then feel free to disagree. You know, men of good conscience can agree to disagree. Amen?
Amen.
And so I believe that there's a couple of things really strange here about this conversation between the serpent and Mother Eve. First of all, I notice that she's not a bit surprised. You know, if that had been me and the serpent had never, ever appeared before, I would have been a little bit taken aback by a snake talking. Now, we say a snake, but I would have thought, oh, no. But she didn't do that. She just entered a conversation with him like she had been talking to him the whole time. Which tells me, brother, that the serpent was one of the animal kingdom that was created. And I believe as your question denotes, I believe that he did walk upright because the curse was that he would crawl on his belly. That was his curse. Now, what do you think? Do you think he walked upright, or do you think he slithered up to her?
Well, I think that probably that he walked upright.
What about the fact that she didn't seem to be surprised that she was having a conversation with a snake?
Well, evidently she'd had contact with him maybe before.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Neither one of them, Adam, who was right there with her, by the way, he didn't interrupt her. He didn't say, "What in the world is this?
Yeah, what are you doing?"
Yeah. He just remained quiet the whole time. Someone said Adam had a rope for a spine. I don't know about that now.
Okay.
But anyway, that's what I think. And as far as the first part of the question was concerned, I believe if you go to Genesis chapter 1, of course you get all the creation account. And I believe those days are 24-hour periods. Now, some people believe that they're, you know, thousands or millions of years. And, again, this is an issue, this is a question that is not a salvation issue per se, but I believe that if you have, for instance, God created day one, day night, day two, sky, day three, land, sea, plant life, day four, sun, moon, stars. Now, day five, God created plant life, one of the things he created on the fifth day. A plant life needs sun.
Yeah,
and I believe these are 24-hour day periods. Now, God can do whatever he wants, you know. He can work a miracle in any area of life. But when he created these days, there was the first day, there was day and there was night and day, the first day, second day and night, first, second day. These are, I believe, 24-hour days. I believe also that you go to Genesis chapter 2, and we read about Adam and Eve being created. You know, that he put him to sleep, performed the first operation, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
Then you come to chapter 3, and I believe, instead of this being thousands of years apart, I believe this is just part of the normal process of their keeping the garden, tending the garden, God taking walks with them in the cool of the day. I think that they were in the garden really a very short period of time. And, of course, they were expelled because of their sin.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think, brother?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that the scripture's that good to make a decision on how long they was there.
Well, some things about scripture, we aren't told exactly all of the details. And this is one of those, I think, one of those areas. Now, if you have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, you'll find on the left-hand side of the column, you'll find dates. And these are approximate dates. Nobody knows for sure. But they're pretty good guesses,
yeah.
I think. So I think they were there just a short period of time before they sinned and were cast out of the garden. Let me ask you a question. You know, God put cherubim, angels, angelic-like beings at the entrance of the Garden of Eden to keep them from going back in. Somebody said to me one time, well, wasn't that mean of God that he would do that, keep them out? What do you think about him doing that, keeping them from going back in?
Well, I don't know if they eat of the tree of life, they'd live forever or something.
I love it. I love it. Well, if we had a prize, you'd get it today. I think that's exactly right. If they ate, and the scripture reveals that if they would eat, they'd live forever in their sinful condition. And you know, we don't want to live forever in our sinful condition.
No.
I want a new body, don't you, brother?
I do too.
Amen.
I'm counting on getting.
Amen. I am too. Any other questions or comments today?
No, I just, them two is all I had in mind.
All right. Timotheus, maybe,
walking upright.
Maybe Timotheus has got a different opinion about that. You got anything, brother?
Well, I don't know if it's different, but scriptures doesn't tell us. And I know some people have snakes for pets and all those kinds of things. me, I'm like, you know, let's get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
Be done with this. But I wonder in the garden, if there was no fear, everything was perfect in the garden.
Yeah.
So if a snake come around, there wasn't nothing to fear. In the millennial reign,
yeah,
it's going to be that way. We're
yeah.
not going to have the fear of that we do of snakes and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my!
This is true. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, in prophesying about that rain that you referenced, indicated that a little child could sit right mm-hmm. by the adder's nest and nothing's going to happen.
So I wonder in the garden,
maybe lamb lay down with the lion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder in the garden if it was that way. The scriptures doesn't tell us. That way she wasn't so alarmed, but once expelled out of the garden with all the other curses
right.
that the snake and man and women have, if that was part of the curse,
yeah.
that, you know, we have that fear and we should have that fear.
Well,
curious.
You know, good point. The other animals, they came to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fear. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. Man was given dominion.
Yes.
Over all of them.
Yes.
And so, you know, this one of these areas we just don't know. I cannot think of what Eddie Murphy said. And I can't quote Eddie Murphy a lot.
Very, very, very little.
But,
very.
The brother referenced the lamb will lay down with the lion, and Eddie Murphy quoted that one day and said, but the lamb won't get much rest.
That's true.
But we know that in the millennium he will.
Yeah.
It'll not be a problem. Okay, brother, thank you so much for calling. Good call today.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
Take care.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. Those are good things to think about, Timotheus.
Yeah.
Now, we have a question on this thing, this new thing called email.
No.
On the World Wide Web, this interweb business. And the question essentially is this. Jesus said on one occasion that the world hated him. And the questioner wants to know why. Why'd they hate Jesus? So, it is a good question.
It is.
Timotheus,
mm-hmm.
you are absolutely correct. In John the 15th chapter, Jesus talked about how the world was going to feel about him. Let me pick it up here, verse 20. Let's see. Yeah, for brevity's sake, we'll start at verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. This is the King James rendition, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. What Jesus is talking about here is the fact that the religious system of the day was scared to death of losing their dominance. They were in charge.
Mm-hmm.
They were the big kahuna.
Yeah.
And anything that challenged them. So they began looking for ways to kill Jesus almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, they hated me. He said, don't marvel if the world hates you. They hated me first. Why did they hate Jesus? They hated Jesus because Jesus made them aware of how sinful they really were. He brought to man's consciousness the fact that he had done these wonderful works, proving himself to be, in fact, the Son of God. And they didn't like that. John 15, 24, 25, they hated me without a cause. And then he goes on to say, don't be surprised. Mm-hmm. There's something about the Christian in the world. The world is condemned by the Christian, just his very presence.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, a man who is unwilling to change his heart, that man oftentimes will hate or just simply ignore and just walk away. But a lot of the world will hate. This is why Christianity, I believe, is hated above maybe Islam. Would be in the number one spot, although it's politically correct to embrace Islam, you know, these days, and to throw Christianity to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus says the Spirit of God will bear witness to these things, and I believe does. You can make fun of about any religion, but except Islam. You don't want to make fun of Islam because it's not politically correct to do that. But Christianity, hey, it's open season on us.
Yeah.
And so stop and think about that for a moment. Christianity, of all the religions, it seems, the one you can poke fun of, you can make fun of, there's no repercussion from it. And I think that has to do with the fact that Jesus predicted it, that the Spirit of God brought condemnation to the world.
Yeah.
And the world doesn't like it. The world fights back.
None of us like it because we know we're guilty.
We all are stained with sin.
Yes.
And so we don't like for it to be brought up. We don't like for people to acknowledge that they know about my sin or that they know I'm a sinner. Well, listen, sometimes people said, you know, I just don't know if I like you or not. And I like to say to them, well, love me or hate me, but don't ignore me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you knew me better, you'd probably like me less because I'm a sinful creature.
We all are.
We all are. And we need to learn as God's children that number one, we've been forgiven. Now Christians are forgiven, but Christians are not perfect.
No.
And so we keep striving to add to our faith, virtue, and those things that Peter mentions in his letter.
Or we should.
Or we should.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know that every so-called Christian does that.
Well, you know, all you got to do is inspect the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I know apple trees by the fruit it bears. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing is true of the people of God. Mm-hmm. And so, 789-0318, God's Point of View at Yahoo. .com,
mm-hmm.
And you could call me or text me if you'd like at 606-367-0137. You know, Timotheus, there's this big hoopla going on now with Roseanne.
Oh, yes.
And she said some things that she should not have said, no question about it. But I'm wondering why it is that other comedians can say a lot of things against conservatives and nobody seems to care.
I understand.
Got a call coming there.
That is the million-dollar question.
This may be Roseanne.
You never can tell. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes. A lot of people over here in Martin County believe once you get saved, you can't backslide. And another thing is, a lot of people believe that God called a woman to preach. Mm. What's your opinion on that?
Two good questions, brother. Thanks for calling from Martin County. You can hang on or you can hang up. That's just up to you. I like for folks to hang on if you want to, and that way you can add.
I'll
sure,
hang on.
Good. You can add to the conversation.
So the question is it possible to backslide? And is it by biblical terms lawful for a woman to preach? That's basically the question.
That's the two questions. All right. Well, it's not just in Martin County where people believe that. That's all over the place.
It's everywhere.
But that's where apparently you live, and that's where your concern is. And I appreciate that. In the first place, the scripture is full of the truth that a man can fall from grace. There's a scripture found in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to turn over there right now. These Galatians were trying to keep the law and yet be Christians. And Paul said, if you're trying to do that, you're trying to keep the law, yet you're trying to be a Christian. He says you've fallen from grace. I'm going to pick it up right here in chapter 5. Let's see. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, that yoke of bondage was the Jewish system that bound them, and there was no way they could keep the law. And so one of the things the gospel of Jesus Christ does is it frees us from trying to live the law perfectly. Nobody can do it anyway. The Bible states that their Jewish forefathers couldn't keep it, and he said, we can't keep it either. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, and that was part of the Jewish tradition, you know, Christ shall profit you nothing, for I testify again. So Paul had dealt with this question over and over and over, and we do too, to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, circumcision is used as an example of representing the whole law, it was representative of the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, now watch this, brother, ye are fallen from grace. If I try to keep some part of the Old Testament as my rule and guide, then I no longer depend upon the grace of Christ. And I would have fallen from that precious, amazing grace of God. Now I'll move from there. There's several places we could move but for time's sake, brevity's sake, let's look at Hebrews chapter, let's see, 4, I believe it is. Or is it chapter 6, Timotheus?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I believe it's chapter 6.
I'm not the Bible scholar that you are.
Well, come on. Now, did somebody come in?
But you are in the King James, just to let everybody know.
Yeah. It's handy right here.
It's handy.
Yeah. Verse 4. Hebrews 6, verse 4. Let's start with verse 1. Therefore. Now, whatever you see of therefore in Scripture, you ought to stop and see what it's
there for.
Therefore. Thank you, Timotheus. And so what he's talking about in chapter 5 is that it's time we grow up. It's time we become full, mature Christians. He says in verse 14 of chapter 5, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. This is an analogy. This is an example, an illustration, that when you are mature in Christ, you don't stay with the same thing over and over and over. By that I mean, look at chapter 6. Therefore, for that reason, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or completeness, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. This is an elementary fact that people just coming to faith have to grapple with. They have to learn that repentance is necessary. You talk about a misunderstood term, repentance. It's not asking God for forgiveness. It's not praying to God to save you. Repentance is a change of mind which follows in a change of direction.
Mm-hmm.
Let me illustrate. If I'm a drunkard, I quit drinking. If I'm an adulterer, I quit committing adultery. If I steal, I quit. If I'm a thief, I quit stealing. Repentance means a 180. Mm-hmm. A complete 180. I got confused one time and I said a 360.
Take you right back to where you started.
Yeah. 180. I'm just turning around the other way. Of the doctrine of baptisms, there's more discussion, there's more conflict, there's more division over that. The doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead. You know, there's a popular church group today that believes, Timotheus, that if you weren't baptized, that I can be baptized for you. Friend, did you know that?
Caller?
I think that's Mormons. Right?
You're absolutely right.
My niece is a Mormon.
Well, I'm sure she's a fine young lady.
No, she gonna die and go to hell if she don't change her ways.
But that doctrine of substitute baptism is not in the Bible.
No, and that's what I told her too. I said, sis, I said, I love you to death, and see, my dad passed away 5 years ago. And she come in, and this is before I knew, knew her that good, I knew of her.
Yeah.
And she said, I want to baptize him.
Yeah.
She said, let me tell you something. I said, my old man done been baptized.
Yeah.
And I said, he's dead now.
That's right.
And I said, he believed in the King James Version of the Holy Bible, and the man been saved, been preaching for years.
Yeah.
And you ain't going to do no baptizing on him.
Well, there's a lot of strange views, isn't there, brother?
Oh, I mean, me and her didn't see eye to eye after that.
The Bible is really clear that the body is dead because of the absence of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
James 2:26. So going back to Hebrews 6, verse 4, now watch this. For it is impossible for those who have once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. In other words, if you turn your back on Jesus, there's nothing else to go to.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it is possible to fall from grace. Now, you have a comment on that, brother?
Well, see, I backslid.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, me and my wife both did.
Yes, sir.
We went out, we started drinking, and you know, live a life, you know, as old saying goes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says there are pleasure and sin for a short season.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And after that short season, you know, it comes to end. It's, you know, and I told a man this, and matter of fact, I withdrew my membership from the church. I was a member, you know, of the church, and I was a member, you know, a preacher of the church, you know.
Yes, sir.
And he brought in this guy, and he put him in as assistant pastor. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, how's he going to pastor a church when he believes that you can go out there and do anything you want and still get make it to heaven?
Well,
I said, you know, our church, or you know, our organization does not believe in that. Yeah. Our organization believes that you can backslide.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can. Here's the thing. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. That verse is used a lot to justify eternal salvation. But while no man can pluck you out, you can pluck yourself out.
Right. Well, the Bible also says, and that's what I told him too. I said, listen, I said, God said he will not dwell in an unclean temple.
He will not. He will not.
I said, you go out there and you keep on sinning, and you know, God will forgive you. Don't get me wrong. God will forgive you.
He will.
I said, look at the woman they caught in the very act of adultery.
Yeah.
They brought her to Jesus, and back in, you know, for that punishment, that woman should have been stoned to death.
She should have been, that's right. That was a trap, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Jesus turned around and says, you know, where is your accusers?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He forgave her of that sin, but he said, go and sin no more.
There you go. Repentance is at the very heart of salvation. Repentance, we've got to change. Amen?
Yeah. And that woman changed, and she washed Jesus' feet with her hair.
She was a person that received the grace of God. Now let's go quickly before time leaves us to the second question. That's about women preachers. We get right. this a lot. 1 Timothy chapter 2 talks about
qualifications.
Well, qualification. Timotheus. I like the word qualities better.
The qualities.
That's okay. Just me now.
I
just
understand.
Me. But in 1 Timothy, he says, in like manner also, the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, that doesn't mean that she can't braid her hair or she can't wear a wedding band. If we take that literally, then she can't wear clothes.
Right.
Because he mentions array. That's clothing, costly array.
Well, then you'd race out of modesty right there.
Yeah. That's what he's doing here is showing us the person, the woman of God mm-hmm. is of a meek and quiet spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But look what he says. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now why? I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. That usurping authority over the man is the preaching part. Now we have ladies who teach classes.
Sunday school
classes, Wednesday night Bible. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a woman who usurps authority over the man. If there are men in the assembly that can preach, then God expects them to take the lead. Now, why? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Women have forever... It's good that we're talking about this right as we're going off the air.
Yes, it is.
Women will forever be barred from church leadership because of the deception The evil one deceived her. Now, Adam wasn't deceived. He walked right in with his eyes wide open.
Why, he's just bonehead.
But the woman was deceived.
Yes.
Brother, we got about 10 seconds. What do you say?
Well, I say you're absolutely right. You know, like you said, you know, where Paul was talking to the church over there, you know, the church was in trouble, and Paul went over there and talked to him.
He did.
And the women were talking, you know, amongst each other.
Sure.
And Paul said, listen, be quiet.
Be quiet.
He said, if you have anything to ask your husband when you get home.
They were, just to be clear, now, they were prophesying. They were all talking at the same time.
Right.
And he said, now be quiet. This is confusion. Brother, we need more time, but it's time for us to go. We've got to get out of here.
All right, brother. Be praying for us, and we love you guys.
God bless you.
Thanks,
we love you,
brother.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That's going to do it for this edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Be sure to come and join us. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.